Friends, this is Susie Larson, and thanks so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. To learn more about the show and to listen to other Live the Promise shows, log on to myfaithradio.com. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for tuning in. And if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour discussion with Real Recovery hosts Bill and George. They are so much fun. Talked about stories of real recovery from addiction. And they made a really good point that we as Christians are all in recovery of sorts. So if you missed first hour, go to our website and catch the podcast, myfaithradio.com. Now we're going to switch gears, talk to two of my favorite guests. We have them on once a month, but today we get them in studio, Bill and Pam Farrell. And they're in studio to talk about marriage, cultivating intimacy in marriage, even cultivating intimacy with God within the context of marriage. And we're doing something really fun. So if you're on your computer right now, go to our Facebook page, My Faith Radio, and we're going to take live questions from you. And Bill and Pam, I don't know how they're going to do this. I'll be really excited to watch this. ADD! Woo-hoo! So while one is talking to me, the other one's going to be patting her belly and rubbing her head. Or how are you do that? So one will be talking to me, the other one will be answering your questions on Facebook. So you have instant access to Bill and Pam. And so ask your questions about relationship. I think anything goes because you two, more than any other marriage couple, aren't afraid of any topic, it seems. Anything
pretty close
goes.
That's right. We come anything from such craziness, so there's nothing we haven't heard.
Nothing you haven't talked about.
Married for 35 years, so yeah, we've talked about it all.
So they're saying, lay it on me, all right? So go to the Facebook page, My
Faith
Radio.
Because anything we don't know, we're going to throw right back to you.
That's right. Susie knows everything.
And I love volleyball. I'll just toss it back to you. So you can also call in with your question, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. 2484. Again, if you post a question on Facebook, you'll get an instant answer. And we don't know if it'll be the right answer, but it's going to be really fun because you'll get an answer. I'm kidding about that. But we're going to put your name in a drawing and we're going to get some Faith Radio resources out to you. And we've got a good stack of the Farrell's books to give away as well. Let me give them a proper introduction and we'll get this conversation started. Bill and Pam Farrell are authors, speakers, and co-founders and co-directors of LoveWise, an organization to help people connect love and wisdom and bring practical insights to their personal relationships. Bill and his wife, Pam, have written more than, listen to this, 30 books, including Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti, and Red Hot Monogamy. They've been married more than 30 years, have raised three young men who love Jesus and athletics. You can find them on the web at lovewise.com, and their influencer page is on our website, myfaithradio.com. Bill and Pam, welcome.
Hi, Susie. It's great to be with you.
So good to be with you.
It is awesome. It's
it is a little scary, though, watching you two in action.
I know.
It's like going to a cheerleading reunion.
That's right.
It's like,
We can do it.
Well, Pam and I go way back, and so we've spoken at a lot of the same conferences. Yeah. So it's totally appropriate to jump up and down when you see each
other.
That's
right.
Didn't mean to scare you.
And, you know, it's a good lead into what we're talking about today because relationships really are the highlight of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be excited when we greet one another.
I think so.
And if families greeted one another the way you two greeted one another more often,
it wouldn't be so much dysfunction.
Yeah.
That's right. So just try it. Jump up and down. Fling one leg really high in the air. You'll solve so many relationship problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we love starting out our conversations talking scripture. And you chose Genesis 24:40. The Lord before whom I've walked will send his angel with you and make your journey a success. Love that. Tell us why you picked that.
Yeah, and another version of it says, please grant success on the journey which I have come.
Mm.
And, you know, it has a great story behind it, that verse does, because it is the story of a husband seeking a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a nice thing to have success in.
That's right. Isaac is in pursuit of a wife, and so he sends his servant out to see if he can find a woman who would be appropriate for his life and for his family. And it's a reminder that all of us are on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when we got married, we just thought, man, she's beautiful. He's so strong. And we get married because we're attracted to one another. And many people don't realize they're signing up for a lifelong journey.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam and I can now look back on our life enough to say, wow, there were a lot of unexpected twists and turns. There were some things we saw coming. But we have been on a journey now for 3 decades. That has lots of really great memories and lots of great challenges. And we've now seen kids and grandkids. And all of that has added value to our life. Some of it was easy to go through. Some of it was strenuous. But looking back on all of it, it increases the value of our relationship with one another. And when people stay on the journey, that's what happens is the value increases year after year.
And if we pray, you know, Lord, grant success on this journey, then it's not just our skills and our talents. You know, God can add himself to the mix. And I'm pretty limited and I'm, you know, dysfunctional and I have all kinds of flaws and faux pas that are built into me. But with God's amazing grace, I can still make a relationship mm-hmm. that's happy and have a family that's happy. And it's because of who God is.
Yeah, that's such a good word, Pam. His grace is, you know, perfected in our weakness. And, you know, sometimes we put more research into buying a computer, a phone, or a car than even marriage. So the idea of seeking for God's grace, for his direction, his success. And I know you guys have spent a lifetime equipping people in marriage. And I think you've told the story on the show before, but for those who've not heard it, go back up a little bit and tell us how you met and maybe some ideas you came into marriage with that sort of changed along the way.
Right.
Well, I hate to admit, Susie, that I don't actually remember the moment that Pam and I met.
Yeah, because I can explain why he can't remember the moment.
I feel a fight coming up.
We were at a leadership conference, he and I. We had not met, and I was with my friends from my college campus, and I was newly recommitted to Jesus at this point, and I was radically in love with God, and so I had taken a year off dating, and because God said, you're addicted to men, you need to be addicted to me, and so I had spent time with God, and I had just finished that year. And we showed up at this leadership conference, my girlfriends and I, and they...
And the college group that I was a part of, you had to help establish our identity. We all wore the same white hats.
It's like driver's caps, you know, cool things.
And so I'm sitting in this meeting with a friend of mine. We both have these white hats on. And these three girls walked up to the aisle that we were in. And one of them looked at me and said, hey, do you know Jim Farrell, who's my brother? And I said, well, yeah, that's my brother. And they all went... Yeah. And then the guy sitting next to me, he looked at another one of the girls, the young lady that was with Pam, and said, is your name Phyllis?
We went to second grade together. And so my two
Love
friends
girls.
Are screaming, and I'm like, I so don't need to be standing in the center of attention, people screaming around me. Yeah. I'm going to just go sit down. So Bill doesn't remember
So I remember
me.
The screaming, but I don't remember Pam being in the group.
I would have been the one to sit down, too. Anyway.
The next day, though, we were sent out on a... you know, is God calling you into ministry quiet time? So we went out as individuals and we came back in the lobby and Bill, I sat down, I was by myself on a sofa and Bill sat across from me and he simply said,
so what did God teach you?
And I'm like, whoa, is that handsome guy talking to me?
Hmm.
Ooh, and we
and asking
this,
a God question.
Exactly, exactly. And
pretty
so,
smooth, Bill.
Totally. Yeah. He loves God. He's like interested in me. There might be something to this. And then that afternoon, I was at the pool, and you have to know a little bit of background. When I was like in seventh grade, I would have quiet times, like by myself. My family wasn't really tracking with Jesus, but I would have a quiet time every day in junior high, and I would write out my dreams and hopes and goals, you know, before God, read my little verse, and I would then read my teen magazine. And on the back of the teen magazine, there was this 1006 man. And he walked at the beach, and he was tan, and he had this hair that was curly and glistened with, you know, water beads on it. And I'm like, oh, I want to marry someone like that, God. And so we were at the pool, and I was on the diving team, and so I did a backflip or something that got Bill's attention.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular.
And Bill, like, came out of the water and shook his head, and I'm like, oh,
there
it
is. I love it. And it was all over after that. So.
And it's interesting because our journeys together, they're this mixture of deep stuff. Like I knew that I wanted to marry somebody who loved Jesus. Because I met Jesus at 16 years old because of the movie The Exorcist.
Mm.
And it was a big deal for me because I grew up in a home that was run by fear.
Mm.
And so every decision in my home growing up was made out of fear. And I was pretty shut down before I met Jesus. So coming to know Jesus was a big deal for me. So I knew that when I got married, I wanted to marry somebody who loved Jesus as much as I did. But I also wanted to marry somebody I was attracted to. And so this physical and emotional attraction, along with spiritual conviction, they just run side by side in parallel. And I believe you can find both. If you're willing to... You're willing to be courageous in relationships, and you're willing to ask the right questions. You can find both.
And I'm willing to ask God, make this journey successful.
That's right. That is totally the key.
So what kind of misconceptions did you enter marriage with, Bill? I mean, I'll ask you this, Pam, as well. But did you have ideas or expectations that sort of didn't pan out?
Well, three things quickly. First of all, I thought Pam would be proud of me every day of my life.
Sorry.
No, thanks for laughing because it's humorous
really close
now.
To that, really close.
Yeah.
Because I loved Pam's encouraging personality. I loved the cheerleader in her. And I just had this sense that, you know what, we are so good together and we're so good for each other that I'm going to get a compliment every day of my life, and she's going to look at me and say, wow, did I do a great job in choosing you as a husband?
And
most days she has been, mm-hmm. but every relationship's real.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times that she's been critical. There's times that she had to bring up issues that were real and she was right. Sometimes when we have to make decisions, we disagree. And so it becomes a little bit of a wrestling match trying to work through decisions. And so that's real in relationships.
Indeed. Well, how about you, Pam? Did you come in with expectations that didn't pan out?
I think the biggest expectation that was realistic on me for our relationship is my dad was very unreliable. And I wanted to marry somebody who was very faithful and reliable. And because I had prayed, Lord, give success to this journey, God did lead me to a man who was very faithful. Mm. But that doesn't mean that he always thought my ideas were great. Mm. And sometimes we would have differences.
Even though all your ideas are great.
They are so great. I even have a poster. There's a poster in my office that says my...
I'm not bossy. I just have better ideas.
That's right. Yeah. So, firstborn in me. And so I had to, because of that bossiness in me and because of that firstborn natural leader, it was something I had to learn to do to follow a great leader because mm-hmm. I had not ever had a man in my life that was a great leader. Like Bill was the first.
And you are a leader yourself. And so that mm-hmm. is a dance and a dynamic to learn to honor his leadership. But also it takes a humble and secure man to support a woman who's got leadership gifts herself. Well, we've got a few Facebook questions already on our page. We're doing something fun, kind of an interactive show today. And so go to My Faith Radio, our Facebook page there, post your question. And so while I'm talking to one, the other's going to be answering these live. So that's real fun. Also, you can call in if you'd like, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. Lots of ways to connect with Bill and Pam Farrell. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
One way is I try every week to send her an email that is affirming, is an encouraging, to tell her I know that life is difficult if she's having a difficult time, and or to thank her for some good thing that she's done for me. So I do that. I try to do that every week.
Great advice. I've got my friends Bill and Pam Farrell in studio. We have them on once a month. This is so fun. They're on their way to a speaking event. So we're trying something new and different here. We're kind of having an interactive show where you can post your question on our Facebook page, My Faith Radio. So if you're on Facebook, go to our My Faith Radio page, post your question, and Pam and Bill will answer live, okay? And you can call as well, 877-933-2484. One thing I've noticed about you both and just your messaging and what you write is the call to be intentional in every way about the things that matter, because those things don't automatically just happen. And Bill, I always parallel things to fitness because that was my background, but it's like just joining a club isn't quite enough. You don't automatically lose weight and build muscle, but the same thing, just getting married doesn't automatically give you a good relationship. So just talk about the idea of intentionality and maybe areas of focus that are easy to let go of that you want to pay attention to.
Well, it's great you brought it up, Susie, because it's actually a cross-cultural or a countercultural concept in our society, because we're all trained that relationships happen in the moment. You meet the right person at this magical moment. You go to the top of the Empire State Building and everything works out the way it's supposed to. And we get trained that it's supposed to be a moment by moment kind of a thing, where in reality, the way relationships work is you create a system together. And if you work hard to create that system, the system works for you and it becomes relatively simple. And so the best things in life never happen accidentally. Like this radio show is not happening accidentally.
Right.
It's happening because people put intentional effort into it. We don't maintain our health, like you said, accidentally. It happens because you put intentional effort. And so if you look at your marriage and family that same way, that we're going to schedule in some intentional skills, we're going to put in some intentional activities. You don't have to do it 24 hours a day, but if you just work in the things that you know will make marriage work, the intentional effort raises everything. Like Pam and I, we pray every meal that we share together, and we kiss each other after every one of those prayers.
Now,
sometimes that kiss is really nice and romantic, and sometimes it's really short and to the point.
And sometimes it's even awkward as we walk around, lean over, everyone in a big group.
But
it's great.
Because statistics show that women who kiss their husbands, those husbands make more money, they live longer, they're healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Just start kissing your husband after the meal. Before the meal.
Right. Yeah. I even had an elderly lady come up to me one time when we shared this and said, do you even do that when you're upset at each other? And I said, yes, because it's a commitment we've made to each other. It's not a convenience. It's a commitment we've made to one another.
That's really cool.
And just those simple things that you do intentionally set the tone for the rest of your relationship.
We call them romantic rituals. And, you know, in a couple's journey with God, it's like 5 minutes a day. Like, that's even a romantic ritual, to have a quiet time with your spouse for 5 minutes. Hey, what's your day doing? What am I doing today? What does God say about our day? Let's pray for each other. Boom, kiss out the door. You know, it's those small things, saying I love you before you hang up the phone, passing the car keys back and forth, saying I love you. Just those little things you do, bringing coffee to the bedside. You know, they all express love, and they keep that romance going in your relationship with the little things.
And it's very helpful when relationships get in difficult moments, because when you're in a difficult moment, you don't feel like serving each other. You don't feel like helping each other out. And if you've trained yourself to be deliberate, then you can do things that will change the relationship, even if it looks like the other person doesn't want to. And let me just use our scenario right here as an example. Like people can't see, but we're standing in a studio, and right behind you, Susie, is a big window. And if you were upset at me for looking out the window, and you said to me, Bill, quit looking out the window. Quit looking out the window. And you kept saying it would be an irritation in our relationship. But if you wanted to change the way we're operating, you could say, Bill, switch places with me. And if we switched places, I would no longer be looking out the window, because the window wouldn't be behind you anymore. And you would have changed the whole system of our interaction, even though you didn't make me do anything. And if people kind of grasp that concept, because a lot of people's marriages get in trouble. And they get to a point where it sounds like they don't like each other. It sounds like they're not interested anymore. And we panic, and we just start to point out the problem and point out the problem and point out the problem. And if we've trained ourselves to be deliberate, we can ask ourselves, okay, what could I do that's different that will help change the system? Because I have control over what I do. I don't have control over what you do. And so if I can do what I can do, and I do it with full conviction, it'll actually change the system. And the beauty of marriage is that it can change very quickly, because marriage goes to a breakthrough. And if the breakthrough happens, it's just like the gospel. Somebody can be lost in one moment and found another. Marriages can do the same thing.
And you're doing that with the heart towards unity. I think where most marriages get in trouble is letting all the offenses build up to the point where you're assigning motives that aren't there. You're believing the worst, not the best.
Right.
And so that takes work, though. I just noticed I'm a pretty organized person. I stay on top of things for the most part. But I have this one area in my house where certain kinds of paperwork that are left over, and they're like number five on my list, that I'll get to them someday. And it piles up without
fail. That's called my office.
And I always have to go and deal with it. And I deal with it. And then it piles up again. But I think that happens in our hearts and in our relationships if we're not intentional.
Exactly right. We have to be intentional. And, it's not always easy. Sometimes it feels worse before it gets better. Like, all of our sons played football, and there's a thing called the red zone. That says 10-yard line right before the touchdown's made. And when you're in the red zone, I mean, there's pushing and shoving and trash talking, and it is intense and ugly. But you pop over that end zone line, it's like, woohoo! yay, it's all good. There's a party there. And we've seen marriages go from very bad to very good in a short amount of time when both parties choose to be all in for even a moment. God seems to meet them there and give them that breakthrough that they've both been looking for, praying for. And it kind of goes back to that verse we talked about at the beginning. Lord, grant success on this journey. I might not like this person right now. I don't really know what to do. But if you tell me what to do, I'll do it because I've said I'm all in right now. And if both parties do that, wow. Even if one person decides to work on the relationship, we've seen God give breakthroughs because one healthy person doing healthy things forces change in a relationship.
And in case somebody's listening that says, well, you don't know my situation, it's just too bad. We have some really good friends whose marriage got in pretty deep trouble. It got to the point that she was going to have him be served divorce papers on his birthday.
So he'd always remember what a scoundrel he was.
And fortunately, they called. And we were able to start meeting with them. And it was hard for them to get serious about it. Like, I actually had to tell the guy. I said, look, it's going to be hard because you're not in the game. You're like that guy in the stands that's yelling at the ref and yelling at the coach. You're not even on the field. So you need to decide to get in the game and let me know when you're ready to do that.
Good word.
And he called me and said, okay, I'm ready. And they went to work on their relationship. And 2 years after that birthday that she was going to give him divorce papers, she threw another birthday party for him.
And 200 of us friends were there to hear her, like, sing his praises and tell the story about how God redeemed and repaired that relationship. And their kids have been so blessed by that decision to hang in there. They're amazing grown-up kids now with great relationships of their own.
And she ended the party with looking at him and saying, baby, you are so in the game.
Wow. It can happen. You know, I was talking to a friend who's walking through a hard time in marriage as well. And as you say, because we get into the relationship in the moment and we think that's going to fuel us, we can get out in the moment too. And just walking through a hard time in marriage. But I said, I want you to look back over your shoulder at the years you guys have been together, the ministry that you've built together. My hubby always equates it to a building. Like every step that I take towards you, every step you take towards me to love, to forgive, it's another block in the building. And there is a fork. That is so big. If you were to walk away because of this tough moment and neglect this building under which so many of us have found nourishment and care and protection, I mean, that is really why the enemy, I think, is so against marriage, is because what comes out of it and the people that are nourished by it is beyond our wildest dreams. But it's a paradigm shift, isn't it? When you start to think step by step, intention by intention, I'm actually building something so that it lasts.
That's right. We can choose to build up offenses or we can choose to take down offenses. And when we choose to, I'm just going to not be offended by that decision, by their quirks, that's putting a positive block in your house. And if you build up offenses, that's like, you know, putting the negative blocks up there between the two of you. And much better word picture that your husband uses, let's build this house together, than let's build a wall between us. And both Bill and I, because of their backgrounds, we have all kinds of dysfunctions that we have to give grace and mercy on a daily basis to each other. And so how I typically do it is, you know what? God, Bill is a really great guy. And what he just said really hurt my feelings. And what he just did, like, he has no idea how much that hurt. But you know, and I choose to just forgive Bill right now. I'm not even going to bring it up. So, Lord, I just...
That's maturity,
mercy, just
right?
Mercy. That's
because
right.
You know he loves you.
That's right.
Right. Oh, so good. Talking to Bill and Pam, one of the questions on Facebook was from a woman who says her husband's basically decided to get out. So his heart is pretty shut down. We're going to ask Bill and Pam, both of you, just to speak to what do you do when a spouse's heart is so shut down they're ready to walk away. We also would take your calls if you want to give us a call, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, post your questions on our Facebook page. We'll answer them live, My Faith Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
probably in the small things more than anything. I try and kiss her goodbye in the morning and say a little prayer, and then at night, just before we go to sleep, say a prayer as well. She appreciates the fact that we begin and end the day acknowledging each other and that the Lord is present.
I'm telling you, man, it's not tough to sweep us off our feet. Right there. Say a little prayer, give a little kiss, and we're really good to go.
Do the dishes.
Do the dishes. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson.
I see a list coming.
Lists aren't all bad, right? So we've got Bill and Pam Farrell in studio. They're marriage experts. We've got them on once a month, and we have them in studio. We're doing kind of an experiment today, so we're doing some live interaction with our Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, go to My Faith Radio and post a question. We'll do our best to answer it. We had a caller. The caller dropped off, but this caller called in anonymously. Bill and Pam said they've been married 30 years. Our marriage has become a friendship, and we've lost that physical intimacy. Advice.
Oh, definitely. People find themselves there all the time. Even good, healthy couples, busyness of life, you know, your crazy schedules. There's all kinds of reasons, not just offenses. There can be small disresponsibilities build up that keep you from spending time together in intimacy. And so, I mean, that's why we wrote Red Hot Monogamy. You know, it's like an 8-week guidebook to turn up the temperature behind, bedroom doors. Mm-hmm. And then Red Hot Romance Tips for Wives, just from our side, we can even make a difference. And I've seen that sometimes it just starts with the small things. Like, start by praying for your spouse. Take those prayer walks where you and God talk about your relationship. And God, give me ideas. How can I affirm my spouse today? And the little things, like walk by him and just stroke his shoulders or put your hand on his. Because usually when there's not a lot of intimacy, that the little things go away too. And if you start with the little things, it will build to the wow moment later on. And then, like, take evaluation of your words. Maybe he's not really attracted to you because you haven't said anything nice for a good long while to mm-hmm. him. And so start with building him up and encouraging him. Lord, help me see my spouse through your eyes instead of my own. And when we change our small little actions and when we change our to affirming words, it's kind of amazing how our relationships can warm up. And we encourage couples, if it doesn't warm up after those little things, then there's probably something significant going on. And in the Red Hot Monogamy book, we say that marriage is a lot like, and sexual intimacy is a lot like your diamond ring. There's many facets. And so you're going to want to look and see, okay, hit it from all sides. Is there a physical problem? Do I need to see the doctor? Is there an emotional problem? Do we need to see a counselor? Is there a spiritual problem? When was the last time we prayed together and took back territory? Are we fighting over something like the kids, money, our careers? So we might need a weekend away to address those issues. And so just take it piece by piece, your marriage, and see what's stopping you from having red hot monogamy.
Good word. Bill, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I first of all want to say don't discount the value of the friendship. Because the interesting part of the question was, are friendships good? We're just struggling with the intimacy side. Well, studies show that the foundation of successful long-term marriages is the friendship that the husband and wife share. So the fact that they have a friendship and that they value that friendship, that's a really good thing. And I would say after 3 decades of helping couples, it's easier to reignite the passion than it is to reestablish the friendship.
Boy, that mm-hmm. is a good word, Bill. And would you say more often than not, it is that surface stuff you were talking about where people just get busy and it's the loss of intentionality mm-hmm. and it's the little things? And
you just
add some of those little things, you start to
spark. The intimacy of intimacy is responsibility.
Wow.
And I've done a lot of weddings in my lifetime, mm-hmm. never had a couple come to me and say, Bill, we were talking and we're interested in getting really busy. We want to have a big mortgage and a bunch of kids running around and a little bit of debt and lots of responsibility in the community where we barely have time for each other. And so based on that, we want to get married.
Yeah.
See, nobody signs up for that. And responsibility just takes the heart from one another.
And, you know, there's some studies out there that some of these little things really add up. For example, couples that attend church together rate their red hot monogamy higher rating. Couples that pray together rate their red hot monogamy with the highest possible rating. So there's like a correlation. The more passionate we are towards God, God boomerangs that passion back into our marriage relationship. So maybe start with some spiritual things. And then there's studies out there that are kind of fun. Couples that exercise together have more red hot monogamy. So maybe just get a little more active. Find a sport to do together, a hobby to do together. Take those walks and hold hands together. And couples that listen to music have more red hot monogamy. Couples that turn off the TV at night and don't have one in their bedroom have more red hot monogamy. So there's simple steps that we can take.
That don't even cost money.
Exactly.
Turn off the TV. You know,
exactly.
Pick one night a week where it's just, it's FaceTime, right? We're going to be face to face. I remember when my youngest son played football, the other two sons were musicians, but I remember a woman approached me that I'd gotten and got to know, and she'd had an affair and their marriage was hanging on by a thread. And she said, "Susie, I've watched you and Kev when Kev's holding the chain gang, you know, doing the yardage thing, whatever." She said, "I watch when you walk by each other, you touch each other's arm." And she said, "But I've watched from a distance when you turn around and look at each other." And she said, "We haven't done that in years." And she said, "I can tell. I mean, like, you two are the only people on the field and you see each other." And it melted my heart for one thing, because I thought, wow, someone saw that. You know what I mean? But it spoke volumes to her. But those things die away when you get too busy and you're not prioritizing the person you married. Right.
And they don't die if you keep them in your schedule. Like, one of the best things couples can do, and this is whether couples are doing good, not good, friendships going well. If you just reinstitute dating each other. You know, Pam and I have always had a date time together that we share. And when we were local, we would have a date night. Now that we're doing a lot of traveling, we have date places.
Right. We tag it on to our trips. Yeah.
And again, you didn't get married so that you could work hard together. It goes along with the deal. You got married because you liked the way you interrupt each other's lives.
Ooh, I love that.
And if you continue
to... You got married because you like the way you interrupt each other's lives. I had to say that, sorry.
That's good. I appreciate you quoting me. And if you keep doing that, if you keep putting times in your schedule where you just interrupt each other, it keeps your relationship at the level of the heart rather than letting it go to the level of work.
And, you know, we do look for those fun date places. Like, we're headed to Big Sandy to do a conference on marriage, but we're staying there because I love to kayak on your lakes up here in Minnesota. And the other thing that Bill and I do that causes red hot monogamy is we laugh together. Just as your friend noticed that smile, that wink maybe that you gave across the field, Bill and I, we like shoot emails to each other that are jokes. We'll slide funny cards underneath the door of like meetings that are going to be hard on us, you know?
Right.
And so we laugh together and it helps.
In fact, did you hear about the guy that went into a restaurant followed by a full-grown ostrich?
No.
Sat down, said, "I'd like a burger, fries, and Coke." The ostrich said, "I'll have the same thing." And at the end of the meal, he reached in his pocket, pulled out the exact amount of money for the meal. Came in the next day, same thing. Sat down. This time he said, "I want a chicken sandwich, chips, and an iced tea." Ostrich said, same thing. End of the meal, he reached in his pocket, pulled the exact amount of money for the deal. Friday night, they went to dinner, and he said, "I want a steak, potatoes, and an orange juice." Ostrich said, "I'll have the same thing." At the end of the meal, he pulled out the exact amount, and the waitress said, "Okay, three times in a row, you've come in here, had the exact amount of money. What's going on?" He said, "Well, a couple years ago, I was cleaning my attic, found a bottle, cleaned it up, genie popped out." He said, "You have two wishes." And he said, "My first wish was anytime I have to buy something, I want to be able to reach into my pocket, have the exact amount of money for whatever I have to buy." She said, "That's brilliant. Like, for the rest of your life, you'll have exactly what you need. What's with the ostrich?" He said, "Well, my second request was I'd like to have a tall chick with long legs who agrees with everything I say, and this is what I got."
But I'm bombing. Lame.
I didn't say they had to be good jokes. It's any joke.
They were all laughing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, as long as we're laughing. We're laughing at you, not with you. And I'm just kidding.
I'll take it either way.
No, I'm teasing. So Laura on Facebook asked, "My husband has expressed that he wants to get out of the relationship. This is heartbreaking." She says, "I don't want this at all. Everyone tells me it's hopeless, and there's nothing I can do to get him to reconsider. I wonder who these everyones are. Is everybody telling her it's hopeless? Is there any good Christian books, therapy that can help me?"
I liked your first statement, "Who are these everyones?" Because sometimes when we're in have marriage trouble, we don't go to the people that have hope for marriage. You know, we're talking to our friends, and they're like, "Yeah, men are scum. Get out of there." And maybe because they have given up on their relationships. And so we might need to invite a few stronger believers into our life, get a good counselor, talk to our pastor, talk to our director of women's ministry, get in a small group Bible study with women who believe in marriage, get in a marriage Bible study and learn some new skills about marriage. So maybe just start by surrounding yourself with positives. And then also, Bill runs like free counseling on one day a week at midlife.com. And oftentimes, it's some midlife issues that might be creeping in, these relationships that couples have been married for a little while. Sometimes there's some big indiscretions that happen, and how do you rebuild when your spouse says, I want out of here? And so every week he helps people there, and it doesn't cost any money. It's all anonymous. And so there are resources like that in every city and online. If you just do a little investigation, there's some help out there.
And Greg Smalley up at Focus on the Family is doing a really good job with resources to help people just hang in there and to help do some of the deep repair work that sometimes marriages get into. And I would just say, first of all, like, thanks for this question, because it's obviously coming from a lot of pain. And we don't want to minimize the situation that she's in, because a significant number of couples get in this place where they just found out, wow, this was harder than I thought it was going to be. My heart's kind of cold. I don't know what to do next. And the typical answer is, well, you probably ought to just get out. And we know there are times when relationships get so bad and so toxic that a break needs to be initiated. But we tell people to get out way too often and way too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say to her, first of all, is you're not alone. Lots of people have been through this. It's one of the reasons we started midlife.com, because it has chat rooms where people who are in her exact story are talking about their experiences and helping each other hang in there. Second thing I would say is try not to live in reaction to him. Because what happens is one person gets in crisis in a relationship, we all live in reaction to them, and the whole system gets toxic because everybody's now reacting to the most unhealthy response in the family.
Bill calls that get off the crazy train. Like,
right.
Don't join people in their crazy. You keep making the next right choice.
That's so good. Did you have more?
Well, the third thing I would say to her is ask the question, what type of person do you want to be? Because we all get in, when we start to react, we start to do things we would never recommend for other people. We get frantic, we get critical, we start to do crazy things to try to get the relationship
desperate.
Back together, and we stop being who we know we can be.
Very good.
And remember that you stood publicly and said, I would do this for life. So for your own integrity, it's worth working on it as long as you possibly can.
And the thing is, your best case scenario is with the one you said yes to.
That's right.
I mean, it's just proven over and over again. If you can get to the valley of decision and get on the other side, the richness in that relationship will not even compare. I mean, what you try to find in something else won't compare to what you'll have.
No, and chances are you're going to sign up for the same thing
again.
Same
baggage, you know.
So you might as well work on this one.
With half as much money and half as much time. And twice the responsibility, because divorce is hard on people.
It is harder than you think. So if we're creatures of the moment, we're not even thinking long term. And we need to take a short break. But when we come back, I want to have you unpack that. Speaking of Smalley, you know, we have him on every other Wednesday. And one thing he says that I think is so important is that we don't fall out of love. We close our heart over time. And so if we could even just speak a little bit more to Laura as far as help me understand, you know, even ask God to help her understand where his heart started to close. And as you say, to be the person God intends for her to be. We've got one more segment to take your calls as well. If you've got a question, 877-933-2484, or go to our Facebook page, My Faith Radio, post your question, and we'll get answered. You can get a live answer from Bill and Pam on the Facebook page as well. We'll be right back.
The little things. I think it's making sure that the laundry is clean, making sure that the house is a safe place for him to come home to, a restful place. He likes a hot meal, so dinner on the table is a huge way to show love, and I think words of encouragement are also a good thing to do.
Another great piece of advice there. especially if you can cook. It's really great. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This has been The Promise. Got Bill and Pam Farrell in studio. We're taking your questions on Facebook through email and phone calls. It's really an interactive show today. Before we take this email that came in, this listener is not on Facebook, but has a very important, good question. Just another word for Laura, because we were referencing Smalley talking about that, there, you know, it's so easy to say, well, we fell out of love, because then it sort of absolves you of any kind of responsibility. And he said, that doesn't happen. What happens is your heart closes and eventually hardens. What can Laura do to help understand her husband, where he's coming from and what shut his heart down?
Right. Like, we don't fall out of love. We fall out of the willingness to forgive. Mm. Like, that is the first huge step, is to forgive your spouse for everything you can think of before God, because then at least your heart is soft and God can speak to your heart about what would help the relationship.
And I would encourage, the first thing I would say is start praying for your husband. I know at first it might be hard, because when you start to pray, all the frustration and the anger and all that comes up, which is okay to pray about that too. But just start praying for your husband. And in your prayer, say, God, would you just share anything you've got that would help in this relationship? Because nothing opens up the heart like prayer does. Mm. And men and women are so different. Like, it's really hard for men to understand the needs that women have that ignite their soul. And it's really hard for you ladies to understand our need to be able to succeed. Because if a man ever concludes he can't succeed at anything, whatever it is, he will shut down to it. He's not motivated to work on it. He's not motivated to go pursue it. If he concludes, I can't talk about this because it won't succeed, it doesn't matter if I do this because it won't succeed, it doesn't matter what I say because it won't succeed, he will just shut down. And it's impossible for women to understand that, because you're wired differently.
Mm-hmm. And in our multitasking, we're managing so many things. Mm-hmm. So if we start bossing you around, telling you what to do in management of our tasks, mm-hmm. we don't realize how that can make you feel like a nag, or we're nagging you and you don't feel successful, and boom.
Emasculating him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. Yeah.
But praying and saying, God, would you just work in his life? Would you give him what he needs? And if you have any wisdom for me, would you share it with me? And just begin praying that on a daily basis. I can't tell you how many times I've seen God then soften the heart of whoever's praying, mm-hmm. and suddenly new insight starts to develop.
Yeah.
Insight you couldn't see. Even if somebody explained it to you a week before, you couldn't see it because your heart wasn't ready to hear it.
But sometimes our agenda stands in the way of God's agenda. And so we have to be willing to, like, lift up our, like, I think it should go like this, and say, God, show me how it should go, because I don't know.
And really, successful marriage is such a journey of 1,000 deaths. I think that. I mean, you die, mm-hmm. and you die again, mm-hmm. but then mm-hmm. you live. There's where the life is, when we humble ourselves, die to our imagined rights for the sake of the oneness.
Well, mm-hmm. it's an interesting verse. Philippians 1:7 says, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart. Mm. And when marriage operates at the level of the heart, it works really well. When hearts get disconnected, we start to judge each other on our behavior. And the problem with that is that none of us can be good enough for long enough to maintain the other person's expectations.
Boy.
So the key is to get our heart reignited, so that at least on our part, I'm carrying you in my heart, because I'll look at you different when I do that.
That is so important. And we were talking during the break about the importance of managing our, you know, processing our wounds and our pain in a Christ-like way, that there's a responsibility, because oftentimes, I mean, I don't do near the work marriage-wise that you do. I do women's conferences, but in talking to women around their marriage, how often I'll meet a woman who, because of some kind of scar in her past, will just use that as license for dysfunction in her present.
That's right.
Where, you know, yes, we're sort of a product of some of the things we've been through, but we have access to so much to get through it, so it doesn't have to mar the relationship. And so enough can't be said, both men and women, that we would process the baggage, the wounds and everything, but even the injuries that happen in our everyday life, because it can just change the trajectory of our marriage. And one listener wrote, I have to give a synopsis because I won't be able to read the whole thing here, but said that he has a question to how do you encourage a spouse who's struggling with some past church hurt? When we met, we were on fire for the Lord, serving in the church, helping youth group, and just loving on kids and people. The spouse has been hurt by many men in her life, and so she's had difficulty trusting since then. What seems to be happening is her trust is diminishing. She's pulling away from church, showing less interest. And he said, this doesn't impact my love. But imagine his concern for her, because there's a profound unity that happens when we're connected, yoked spiritually.
That's right. And, you know, so he is right to pray for her and pray that God would give him insight to help her find the right people to pull the Band-Aid off and really address the deep issue, because it sounds like there's built up hurt and pain from the past. And then with leaders that you are supposed to trust in the church, if they hurt you too, then you kind of don't know where to go. Like, okay, that man hurt me in the past. The people that are supposed to be safe around, I don't feel safe around. So God, are you even safe? And so it can go pretty deep, pretty fast. And so, getting some women that can speak truth into her life that have also gone through some tough stuff. I would be one of them that has gone through, you know, church leaders hurting, our family and overcoming. And God has the ability to help you, overcome anything if you keep your eyes on him, not on men. Mm. And so keep pointing her to God, to Jesus, his traits. Study who God is as a person, as a father. Just invite her into quiet time with you as a couple and study that God is someone you can trust. Mm. And she'll start opening up to God and eventually to church again, too.
And Bill, before you jump in, I want to tell this listener as well that we've had Stephen Mansfield on, and he talks about healing your church hurt. Fabulous. You could go to our yep. My Faith Radio page, type in his name in the podcast, because I've had him on a few times. Anne Graham Lotz experienced some significant church hurt, and she has also been on, and so you could type in her name and you'd find the podcast if it's easier to listen. But her book is Wounded by God's People. So those are a couple great resources.
Yeah, I was just going to add that two things I think all of us need to be saying over and over again is, first of all, forgiveness is one of the primary skills of life, because it's guaranteed every one of us is going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of living in a broken world. It's going to happen. And if we get surprised by it, or we think it shouldn't have happened, we'll harbor the resentment, which will turn into bitterness, which won't stop till it devours your life. And so forgiveness is just something we all need to be good at. It's why we include steps of forgiveness in most of our writing, because it's so vital to all of our lives. And the second thing I would say is, we need to tell people, for those who have been hurt and rejected, there's a special place of intimacy that Jesus reserves for those people. Because Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected by the people who love you the most. He knows what it's like to be hurt by people who should be loving you. And so, in a fallen world, he doesn't erase all the pain, but he says, I will meet you there, because I know what it's like.
Mm. And so it's an invitation, really, in that place.
It is.
To know him in a deeper way that you maybe wouldn't otherwise.
That's right.
And that's why the healthy spouse can share. Say, hey, hon, I read this today in my quiet time. Wow, it sure gave me comfort. Let me read it to you. And it's just a verse about God being trustworthy, or God being loving, or God's loving kindness is everlasting, or anything that's like some strand she can hold on to that'll help rebuild her image of God.
Mm. Well, we just have a couple minutes left. I would love for you just to say another word about, because I think this is so harmful to marriages, is when we walk around with unresolved grudges, unforgiveness, attitudes, and even if they're just sort of irritating ones, so that, you know, it's like a weed in your yard. It doesn't go that deep, but those are the things that really do impact us. Why are you laughing?
I just like, because it's so real. You know, I remember weed when I had to decide that I was going to be really hard on myself and really gentle on Pam. Because there's areas of my life that move really fast, and I love those areas. And there's other areas of my life that move really slow. And no matter how much effort and prayer I put into them, they just move slow. Well, when I got married to Pam, I didn't realize I expected all the areas of her life to move fast. I didn't expect her to be like me and have slow areas in her life. And when I decided, you know what, I'm going to give Pam the same grace I give myself, it took a lot of the pressure off the relationship, and it gave Pam freedom to just be herself.
Because what we typically want to do, like what is natural for us, is if we see something in our spouse and it bugs us, or they have done something to offend us, we want like a pound of their flesh, like the sooner the better, I'll feel better. It doesn't make us feel better. Mm-hmm. It just fires us up and ruins our relationship, and we say things that we will regret. But if we decide, you know what, I'm going to be tender on my spouse and tough on me. You know, okay, God, grow me up in this area that's driving my spouse crazy. That's the way that marriages are built.
Mm.
And the other thing I would tell people in this area is just beg the Holy Spirit to give you insight. Because there are times I have no idea what to do with Pam to help in any way. And I just say, God, can you help me out?
And he does.
He does.
Mm.
Appreciate what you're both doing for the marriage, for marriage and for family. And you're such great examples, great friends of the program, too. And as we get ready to wrap up, Pam, I'm wondering if you would just pray for the Lauras out there, the spouses who don't want out, but the other one does.
Lord, we lift up to you every person listening in the audience today, and we pray that you would start with them. Help the person that is committed to their marriage hear from you, God, yes, the next right thing to say or do that will give hope to them and help to the marriage. Lord, I pray that you would reach out and touch the spouse that's drifting from you or drifting from their marriage or their partner. We pray that you would draw them first back to you, because that's the path of love. Lord, you tell us that God is love. And so if we can keep our focus on you, God, we can keep our focus on love and loving each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you both, and have a great weekend at Big Sandy.
Thanks, we will.
Yes, so good to be with you. But we're having dinner first.
Woo-hoo.
So, all right. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of both hours up on our website at myfaithradio.com. There's some great articles up there to check out as you go as well. Yesterday, I had a conversation with a guy named John Weiss about what love does, and I'm telling you what, it was one of those that is going to stay with me for a long time. So be sure to listen to that podcast when you're there as well. Well, you hear this from me every day, you're going to hear it again. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.